Welcome, everybody, to the very first Bible study at Following the Book Ministries. I hope you're ready to kind of listen to what's going on, but I'm hoping you're also ready to contribute. I like to field questions and so forth, and we can't do it here, but if you will go to www.followingthebook.org, then you can go down to the contact page, and it'll have our email address in there, which is contact@followingthebook.org. And what you can do is just send a question in. I'd like to try to field a question or two each week. So if you would send it in, we will be happy to try to answer it. Or if you're talking with some of your friends and your friend has a question they want to ask and you can relay back to them, if I can help, I will. Also, I will tell you, I don't go very fast through the scripture. If you're wanting to cover great vast quantities of scripture, well, I'm not your guy because I go really slow. So we're going to be in the Gospel of John for a long time, and which is where we're going to start, in that Gospel. You say, well, why do you start in the Gospel of John? That's because the Gospel of John condenses down to the essence of the Gospel. You may be a brand new believer or an inquirer. You may be very versed in the Bible, or you may know little or nothing about the wonderful book we call the Bible. But whatever your level of knowledge of Christian experience, the Gospel of John contains a wealth of spiritual knowledge that will help you to walk with Jesus and grow near to Him. So it has that gospel in it, but it also has the deep things of God, the deep things of Jesus. And so you see, the Gospel of John reads differently than some of the other Gospels, all of the other Gospels, in fact. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell more of a narrative style, and they more or less follow each other chronologically and kind of tell the same story in different words from different viewpoints. And they're a little different, but they remind you each of the other, even as if some of them use the same language. But the Gospel of John was written for a different purpose. And it comes out of church history. John, the apostle that wrote this, was the only one of the apostles that lived to an advanced age. And all the other apostles were martyred. John was not. He did suffer quite a bit. There's church tradition that he was boiled in oil. We know that he was imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos where he wrote the Revelation. That's the same John we're talking about here. A disciple of Jesus. And an apostle. Apostle means one who is sent, apostolos, one who is sent forth. And that's what John was. He was one of the apostles of Jesus and probably was just a teenager when he followed Jesus around Galilee. We know that he was the cousin, or the actually would, well, yes, that's right. He would be the cousin of Jesus. Salome and Mary were sisters. And we can discern that from the women in the Bible who are named and the women that are around the cross. That's time for another Bible study. But Salome was the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And Jesus' mother, Mary, was her sister. And so John was very young when he went off with Jesus to follow him around Galilee and to Jerusalem and all the adventures he had. And probably wasn't much more than a preteen, maybe 13 or 14 years old. And his mother, I'm sure, Aunt Salome, you know, she was the one that brought her sons to Jesus. And one of Jesus said, when you come into your kingdom, I want this one to be Secretary of State, and I want this one to be Secretary of Defense, you know, similar type thing, because they thought he was going to establish a kingdom. She wanted him to have a high up position. They were looking out for her sons. And so she was a very protective mom. We can see from just that one incident in the scripture, and I'm sure she told Jesus to take very good care of his cousin and that she was depending on him to watch out for him. And the scripture says that Jesus loved him, and as anyone would love a young relative that's under your care, probably almost seemed as though he was like a son to him rather than a cousin. So John was a very old man. Grew to be an old man. He was a bishop in Ephesus. I don't know how long it took from the time that the events around Jerusalem and the Jerusalem church and so forth, how long after that that John went up to Ephesus. But as the church began to grow, the church began to coalesce, as believers came together, began to coalesce in these large cities, these important cities like Ephesus. Ephesus was a city in western Turkey, and is still there today, although it's somewhat inland from where it was before because of the change of topography over 2,000 years. But he was the bishop there, and he was the overseer of the churches around that. So the church began its initial organization in that way, and it was not, despite what some people will claim, that there was one church, and it took hundreds of years before the bishop at Rome finally asserted authority over the whole Western church, and he never had authority over the whole church because the Eastern church and the Western church split, and about 1,000 officially split, but far before that, they had gone their separate ways. So in the early times, the church government was gathered around these cities like Ephesus and Alexandria and Antioch and Jerusalem and these centers of Christianity. And then they were, the other churches and surrounding them just came under their umbrella. And so John was the bishop at Ephesus. We know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, went with him up there. You remember at the cross, Jesus gave Mary, his mother, into the charge of John. And he said, "Behold your son, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your woman, your mother." And this was the charge that he gave to John, which John kept. In fact, Mary is, according to church tradition, died in Ephesus and was buried there, and there was a tomb for many, many, many years there. And in fact, they still have a place they call the Tomb of Mary there. And so John was getting to be an old man. The other Gospels were written around, from 45 to 60 A.D., somewhere in there. And the story of Jesus had been out there in what we call the Synoptic Gospels. That is, they're very similar. They call them the Synoptic Gospels. And John had already written his revelation, the revelation that God gave him, that vision that he gave him on the Isle of Patmos. So he had given that out. And the church tradition, a story is that when he was in Ephesus, he was at an all-night prayer meeting, he and some of the other elders there, and they prayed all night. And when they got finished and praying in the morning, they began to sort of debrief, and they said, "Well, what did the Lord say to you? How did the Holy Spirit minister to you?" And one of the men there said, "The Holy Spirit told me that you should write a spiritual gospel and that we were to help." Well, that seemed like a good idea to them, and they prayed about it some more, and that's what they did. In fact, if you'll read in the last part of the Gospel of John, in fact, it's right at the last verse, next to the last verse, it's verse 24, chapter 21, verse 24, it says this: "This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are many other things also which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. So we see in verse 24, we know that his testimony is true. And so that fits in with this story from church history. At any rate, it is probably the last book of the Bible to be written. He was John. So we're going to start with the Gospel of John. I think it's a wonderful place for us to start. And what I'm going to do is I'm reading from the King James Version. Now, you can read from any version you want, but I kind of have to be careful about copyright. And there might be a question or two about it. So anybody, I'm just reading from the King James Version, and I paraphrase it a little bit. I take the these and thous and wouldest and shouldest and couldnest and all those kind of things and some of the archaic words, and change them just a little bit so that it's easier for us to understand and easier on our ears. So I'm going to begin with the Gospel of John. And we're going to begin this week and probably next week to study about what is called the prologue to the Gospel of John. That is the first 18 verses of the Gospel of John. And I might stay in here quite some time because this is rich with knowledge and understanding of the very nature of God and of Jesus Christ and what his mission was. And so it introduces the whole book of John being condensed, I like to say, into who Jesus is and how we relate to him. And so let us begin. I'm going to read these first 18 verses, and then we'll talk about them verse by verse. The Gospel according to St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light, which lightens every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him, and cried, saying, This is he of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now, John starts out at a good place, doesn't he? He says, in the beginning. And so we're going to look at this very first verse, and we might be looking at it for quite some time. Like I said, I go slow. So what I'd like you to do is turn in your Bibles, and I hope you have your Bibles open while you have this, while you're doing this, and let's go over to Genesis chapter 1. And if you've listened this week, you remember that we started in Genesis chapter 1 in our audio Bible. We just start at the beginning of the Old Testament, the beginning of the New Testament, some Psalms and Proverbs. And if we just stick with it, you'll be able to acquire a vast territory of the Bible. And what I'd like you to do is just think about, they're not very long passages of Scripture. Just think about them. Without comment, without me talking to you or anybody else talking to you other than hearing the Word of God, and go back over them and play them several times and listen to them and listen for God to speak to you from His Word. But if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, those are the first three words of the entire Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. And so when John said this, when he wrote this book, the world was really changing as far as Christianity was concerned. When they first started out after the day of Pentecost, the entire church was Jewish from bottom to top. There were hardly any Gentiles at first, and some of the Gentile people began to believe in Jesus up in a place called Antioch, At Antioch, people began to believe, and the word of God began to spread. And so by the time John is writing this gospel, there are probably as many, could be as many as 100,000 people in the church. The church is growing exponentially from those first 120 that received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and the 5,000 that were converted immediately. And all the people began added to the church, but all these new believers, a vast majority were Gentile people who had no background in Judaism. And they are coming into the church like crazy. And it is evidently, a person just looking at that could say, you know, the future of the church is with the Gentiles, presenting the gospel to them. And so when John uses these words, they're very significant. When he uses the words in the beginning, that speaks to his Jewish audience. But it also speaks to the Gentile audience who have the same questions that we all have. Where did I come from? What was the beginning of all things? Philosophers argued have argued for thousands of years about the ground of all being, you know. Where did everything come from? And what's the basis of reality? So they've argued about these things for years and years and years. And that was a question that I think picked up the ears of everyone that heard this. The Gospel of John, I might say too, was published. It was not circulated as a letter, like he wrote one copy and did it. But I believe that it was published, if I have read correctly about the history of it, and that it was sent out more like we would send a book out today. But that would speak to a vast audience in the beginning. Then he says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, this refers to Jesus. You've heard of Jesus referred to as the Word of Life, the Word that came down from God. Well, this is, in the English, just means Word. It probably means, could be spoken Word. It could be a Word written on the pages of a book. But in that day, this that we translate Word was Logos. And we would transliterate that L-O-G-S. It was Lambda, Omicron, Gamma, Omicron, Sigma. Logos. And it was a very significant word for John to use. We use this word these days. You know, much of the Greek language made its way into English. And so any of the ologies, like archaeology, paleontology, study of old things, the knowledge about things that are very ancient and old, this talks about, this logos spoke to people of reason and order. It was very similar to the day that we have today. There were a lot of people that believed a lot of different things. And in the Roman Empire, you could believe about anything you wanted as long as the state approved it, and the state approved it if that religion was subservient to the state. In this way, that each person would offer a pinch of incense to the divine Caesar, and the divine Caesar would they would, even if you didn't do it, you could sign an affidavit. We have those from back then. You could sign an affidavit saying, well, I went ahead and sacrificed to the, they called it the genius or the spirit of Caesar as the divine. Most people didn't believe he was divine at all. The most educated people did not. But it was a way of showing your loyalty to him. And so people believed a lot of things, but very few people believed in immortality. That is that, you know, life after death was some sort of melding of consciousness with the whatever, with the nirvana, whatever you want to say. But most people just believe when you're dead, you're dead, you're gone, you're gone. And a lot of the Roman tombstones in those days, the writing on them kind of reflects that kind of attitude. The people didn't really have that consciousness. That's what made the gospel so terrific. The other thing is that the Gospel of John came in a day when people believed in a higher power, sort of. You see, they recognized that there was order in the universe. Anybody can look around and say the order, the universe seems very ordered. I think one of the very famous evolutionists of our days wrote a prologue in his book called Evolution, and it said this. I believe it was in the introduction, but it's in there somewhere. He said, the world looks as though it was engineered, but it was not. You know, it was just a big accident. And so people recognized that there was order and reason. And a big question among them was, why is there order and reason in the universe when everything should be chaos? What brought this order about? They believed that there was sort of a force. Many of them did. Not everyone was like this, but this, a lot of people did, that they called the Logos. We would kind of call it the higher power. And it was that which brought reason and order into the chaos of the universe. Many people thought it was where we get our reasoning from, why our mind works, why we can gather thoughts together, why our thoughts are organized. They called it reason. It was called logos. That was the word, logos. So when John says, in the beginning was the logos, that made sense to everybody. You know, it made sense to the Jewish people too, because the word of God is the power of God. God spoke, and the universe came into existence. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let the seas be filled up with fish. And the Bible says, and it was so. So the word of God is a power of God, especially the creative power of God. When God says something and his word goes forth, it doesn't come back void. It accomplishes that for which God intended it. So when John says, in the beginning was the word, wow, did that make a big impact with people in those days. Makes a big impact with me too, I want to tell you. And then he goes on and he says, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Now, if you just think about this just for a minute, if you say you are with someone, you are not them. Does that make sense? If I'm with my family, say if I'm with my wife over Christmas, and we're planning a holiday together, I'm going to be with her. I am not her. In fact, it's impossible to be with someone and be that person also. But John says here, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, the early church, they took a lot of symbolism from John. And the symbolism of those creatures around the throne in Revelation, you know, one of them was an eagle. And they believed that those creatures stood for the four Gospels. Some people took it that way. I'm not sure that I take it that way, but just for purposes of illustration. And they made John, the Gospel of John, the eagle. And they reasoned this way, that the eagle is able to soar to heights that no other can soar. They can see things that other people, that other creatures cannot see. Their vision is fantastic. And they have a second eyelid that they can use to close, and so they can look directly into the sun without being blinded. And they felt that was a good representation for the Gospel of John. Because God, the Gospel of John, in the very first verse, gives us an insight into the very nature of God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. It says the same one was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and was without him was not anything made that was made. You know, we have a lot of different theories among Christianity about creation. Some people believe it was six literal days. Other people believe it was six ages. But the one thing that we're all agreed on, all of us, is in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And in the beginning was the Word. The Son of God was there in the beginning. His plan was in place for our redemption. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And we can look right directly into the Son and not be blinded. Just like that eagle. Because He opens this up to us and said, here is God with us. Mysterious. John doesn't attempt to explain the contradiction here, apparent contradiction here. But he presents it as a paradox. A paradox is contradiction where you have additional knowledge that makes it a paradox. And so two things that seem to be contradictory are nonetheless true. And this we see this paradox of Jesus here, with God and was God. He says the same was in the beginning with God. This is the same one I'm talking about. He reiterates it. All things were made by Him. Here was the creative agent of God. The Word. That which God wanted to accomplish on that very first day, and He said, let there be light, and there was light. That was a Word that accomplished that. God speaks to us in words that we can understand, in ways that we can apprehend. But we're never going to comprehend this, friends. These are mysteries too deep for us. We can just gaze at them and wonder and believe in the One that made these true by living again and being raised the third day from the tomb, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the One who came to save us. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. We'll stop there for our in-depth. It's just three verses, 10 minutes a verse. It's going to take us a while to get through John, but I think you'll like it. Next week, we're going to look at two verses. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. I want to tell you, these two verses are packed full. And we're going to unpack it next week. And I really enjoy doing this. I hope you enjoy it too. If you got friends, you're free to use anything that is sent to you. You can copy this. You can pass it around. I just appreciate it if you didn't edit it in any way. But it's free to use. I thought about copyrighting some stuff on here, but I'm not going to copyright anything. As far as scripture reading and the Bible studies, and I've got some sermons. You might want to listen to those too that will be on the website. So until next week, may God bless you, and be sure to send in a question for me, all right? And we'll be happy to try to answer those. And, you know, click on this link next week, and we'll have further in the Gospel of John. Thank you, and God bless you, everyone.